Not a thing. I drank the wrong thing backstage. Yes, actually, I had great memories of that.
After you guys opened, you said a couple of words from and watched the whole show.
What we were mentioning is the last show that Newgrass Revival ever played, we had the good fortune to get to play on the greatest show in America that night, which was the Grateful Dead's New Year's Eve show. So this was at the Oakland Coliseum, 89 going into 1990. And it was, first we were afraid that there would just be everybody ripped out of their skulls in the audience, that, you know, it might not mean very much to them what something meant very much to us for our last gig. But it was great. I guess the drugs were all time released. And
we were there, Sam. We were loving it, man. We were there.
But I got a funny sidebar. We'd actually been trying to get on that show for years, you know, and so had everybody else in America, you know, been trying to get on that show for years. And actually, when the Dead found out that we were breaking up and that would be our last show, then they really, you know, wanted us to do it. So that made it nice. And so we get off stage, and Jerry Garcia came up and he says, you know, I can't remember everything he said, but it was the basic message was far out, man. He said, man, we should have done this years ago. And I, you know, at that point, what do you got to lose? We just played our last show. I said, yeah, maybe we wouldn't have broke up if we'd have done that. And he stood there a second and goes, bullshit. Okay, you caught me, all right? So it was a very pleasant experience. Yes, please.
You talked a while ago about some of your influences from bluegrass world. Do you have a couple quick examples of how somebody like Duane Allman or somebody from jazz influenced your mandolin playing?
Probably so, yeah, because I haven't always just, you know, listened to mandolin players. I've always been a closet electric guitar player, although I'm out of the closet lately, I guess. Definitely. I mean, for instance, you just mentioned Duane Allman. There's definitely there's a lick he does in memory of Elizabeth Reed that all of a sudden I realized, hey, I've heard Dan Cray do that kind of thing, and I've transferred it to the mandolin, which is basically just some pull-offs that Duane used to do. In other words, it's like a. So there's like a one down stroke with the pull off, one up stroke with the open string, and then back again. I think when Duane did it, it was like at the height of his solo in the memory of Elizabeth Reed, and it's sort of like. I realized later that Dan Cray does that, you know, same type of thing. And of all people, when I was a kid, I saw Buck Owens do it on the guitar, too. So, must not be the hardest lick in the world, but. Sure, he's flashy. Yes?
Can you tell us a little bit about chopping? What's the right technique for chopping?
The question is, what is the right, or tell us about what would I think the right technique for chopping would be? You know, rhythm chopping, I mean, obviously, I really love to play rhythm. I love to chop rhythm. And anyone that chops rhythm on the mandolin, or a bluegrass style rhythm, I should say, anyone that does that is either directly or indirectly influenced by Bill Monroe. To my knowledge, the first that would have done that. And it's so. And one of the interesting things about rhythm chopping for me is there's a lot of great players that do great rhythm chops. And, you know, they're all different. I mean, I think it actually gets down to a matter of personality of the player sometimes, maybe, once, you know, you get past a certain technique. And if we're talking about this rhythm chops, the difference between the sound of this or the sound of this. So it's really done, I guess I can only speak personally because I'd say different players have a different way of doing it, but it's certainly done by, you know, releasing the chord and not letting it sustain. The difference between this or this, you know, is massive. And, you know, somewhere in the 50s, Bill Monroe started doing this because there are older records of his where he does the chop rhythm. And, but Bill's is kind of the type where it's as if you're strumming, basically strumming like a guitar, but you're trying to release that chop on the upbeat. So, in other words, the mandolin becomes sort of the snare drum, the backbeat of the band. And maybe Mr. Monroe developed that because his action got so high he couldn't press the strings down. I mean, I don't know. I sure love it, though. But I know that, John Duffy always thought it had a marvelous rhythm chop. Doyle Lawson has a great one. Tim O'Brien, he's got a terrific rhythm chop. And we all do it a little differently. I have developed a couple of ways to do it, like a way to use open strings to do it, where I'm not so much releasing the notes as much as I am actually sort of damping the strings with the sides of my fourth finger. And I guess the third and fourth finger dampen the strings. So this is where I've kind of the reggae thing I've learned to do is, in other words, the same type of thing. If I'm not chopping this string off, it's just. So it's almost as if you want to get enough of the chord heard that you can define the notes that you're playing. But also what I like is to try to make a percussive sound that is almost. It's almost just like a snare drum. So. And that one, especially when I'm trying to duplicate Bob Marley, which, the first time I ever heard Bob Marley, one of the things that attracted me, I thought it sounded like Bill Monroe chopping rhythm, sort of. And that's what attracted me to that kind of music. So I can do. To get the I'm kind of doing two chops there. It's really done by damping the strings with the sides of my third and fourth fingers. Now you can also do that, with the bluegrass chord too. But hopefully, you can hear the notes of the chord enough to define that chord while getting that percussive chop in there too.
So you don't actually let the fingers touch the fretboard when you're chopping.
Well, when I chop the bluegrass rhythm, you note it just enough for the chord to be defined. But if it's noted too much, it might sound like your chop is speeding up, as opposed to that. Like I say, I don't believe there's one way to do it. That's the way I happen to do it, and. If you're serious about learning to chop rhythm, listen to as many, the people you admire and try to, because there are many different ways. Jimmy Goodrow is a terrific rhythm chopper.
Play reggae.
I beg your pardon?
You play
reggae?
Could I play reggae
too?
One love, we'll sing.
One love.
One love.
Bless you, my children. We'll do just a little bit of One Love. You're welcome to sing along if you like. If you know the words, tell them to me because I can't always remember.